Blog Talk Radio.
God's love for you goes on and on. When other hearts have failed, this love forgave from Calvary's cross, where that love was nailed. You must believe He wants the best for you, though your prayers have yet to show. So let your heart be strong and your faith arise as I give you what I know. Well, I know there's a God in heaven who saves, who delivers, and heals. For He gave His Son, the Lamb of God, who's the Savior.
Greetings, this is Ann Windsor here at the Soul Way Radio Network, and today I would like to share with you a reading of Dr. John G. Lake's sermon entitled Consecration, Testing, Power, and Victory. This particular sermon comes from the book, The John G. Lake Sermons on Dominion Over Demons, Disease, and Death, put out by Gordon Lindsay in Christ for the Nations. Institute. In this sermon, Dr. Lake looks at the life of Jesus from the standpoint that, quote, He was a man just like other men. He met every challenge of the soul just as you and I have to meet it. But Jesus willed to do God's will and to know God's will. Points he covers: how to enter the will of God, two phases. Jesus first dedicates himself, the extent of Jesus' dedication, and the result of his dedication. He says, quote, most folks mean their consecration on the day they are baptized and then forget it the first time that the devil appears or they get a pain in the stomach. It was a forever business with the Lord Jesus. Get that forever thing into your soul and spirit. There never was a time in history when the world needed a demonstration that the Lord could keep people forever under every condition as much as it does today. This sermon was ministered many years ago, but how true that statement is in these times in which we live. There never was a time in history when the world needed a demonstration that the Lord could keep people forever under every condition as much as it does today. We may take a couple days to go through this. I want to read. That means reading slowly, taking in the words, understanding the heart and the tone with which Dr. Lake was delivering this message. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for these living words. I pray, Lord, that you would write them upon the hearts of those that hear them, and their lives would be changed because of them. Because, Father, that was Dr. Lake's intention when he spoke them. And, Father, I thank you for it, and I anticipate it. In Jesus' name, amen. I wish we could follow the Lord Jesus today in the steps of his life and the anticipation of his victory. You know, we have our eyes so fixed on the fact that Jesus was the Son of God and therefore, of course, divine, that we lose sight of the fact that he was also a man, just like other men. That all the soul battles that any man has to meet, Jesus had to meet. It is the realization of this fact that creates such fellowship. It seems to me the sin of modern Christianity has been the isolation of Jesus into a class by himself. Then Christians proceed to excuse themselves all along the line on the ground that Jesus was God. Jesus did this because he was God. Jesus had victory because he was God. Jesus healed because he was God. No, beloved, Jesus was just as much a man as you and I are. Jesus met every challenge of the soul just as you and I have to meet it. But Jesus willed to do God's will and to know God's will. First point, how to enter the will of God. Two phases. There are two phases of entering into the will of God. The first is the surrender of our will to do the will of God. Most people's conception of doing the will of God is to become a non-entity. Now, it is not God's ideal for you to have to be pushed around like a machine or moved like a mechanism. The other phase of entering God's will is recognizing yourself as God's son and man's servant. I think the most wonderful exhibition of this truth that God can give us is the fact that he gives us the Holy Ghost to use for God. For instance, the Lord says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But if you do not lay your hands upon anyone, they will not be healed. However, if you have faith to believe, you have the Holy Spirit to be used by him and for him, your hands and your heart will be ready. However, if you have faith to believe, you have the Holy Spirit to be used by him and for him, your hands and heart will be ready. It is a sad thing to me that God had to go out on a special mission and hunt a soul up and wrestle with him in order to get him to do something for God. There used to be a Bible school in Ohio where they waited in continuous prayer meeting for 9 months for the gifts of the Holy Ghost. I said to them, it seems to me if you stay around for 10 years and 9 months, you will miss the gifts of the Holy Ghost. But if you take off your coat and go out and use what God has given you to bless others, he will give you more. We're going to read that again. Listen a little more closely this time. How to enter the will of God. Two phases. There are two phases of entering into the will of God. The first is the surrender of your will to do the will of God. Most people's conception of doing the will of God is to become a non-entity. Now, it is not God's ideal for you to have to be pushed around like a machine or moved like a mechanism. The next phase to entering the will of God is recognizing yourself as God's son and man's servant. I think the most wonderful exhibition of this truth that God can give you is in the fact that he gives you the Holy Ghost to use for God. For instance, the Lord says, "They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." But if you do not lay your hands upon anyone, they will not be healed. However, if you have faith to believe that you have the Holy Spirit to be used by him and for him, then your hands and your heart will be ready. If you have faith to believe that you have the Holy Spirit in order to be used by him and for him, by God and for God, that you have the Holy Ghost to be used, for you to be used by God and for God, then your hands and your heart will be ready to be used by him and for him. It is a sad thing to me. God had to go out on a special mission and hunt a soul up and wrestle with him in order to get him to do something for God. I believe Dr. Lake could be talking here about Jacob in the Old Testament. He goes on, there used to be a Bible school in Ohio where they waited in continuous prayer for 9 months for the gifts of the Holy Ghost. I said to them, "It seems to me if you stayed around for 10 years and 9 months, you will still miss the gifts of the Holy Ghost. But if you take off your coat and go out and use what God has given you to bless others, then he will give you more." Going on. Jesus first dedicates himself. Jesus first dedicated himself is the secret of his life. That is the secret of his life. He dedicated himself not to do his will, but to do the will of God. That is what his baptism at the Jordan meant. Jesus dedicated himself to God, body, soul, and spirit. How many of you have dedicated body, soul, and spirit to God? Now, says many hands were raised. Then he says, now, all those who took a dose of pills during the last 2 or 3 months, put your hands up. No response. He says, pill swallowers do not like to put their hands up. You see the challenge he's throwing out here? Let me read that again. How many of you have dedicated body, soul, and spirit to God? Many hands raised. Now, all those who took a dose of pills during the last 2 or 3 months, put your hands up. No response. He says, pill swallowers do not like to put their hands up. I want you to see that the dedication of your body, soul, and spirit means something. It means taking yourself out of the hands of man and out of the hands of the devil and are over in God's way and God's will forever. Suppose you have a difficulty in your spirit. Where do you go for relief? You might go over and hang around those spiritualists. But that would not be God's way. That is the way a lot of poor folks do. We have a neighbor who has been a very ardent spiritualist. One day, he rode to town with me. And he told me how fascinated he was. Last week, he ran off with another fellow's wife. I have this much to say on that line. I have watched the progress and process of spiritualism for years, and it usually ends that way. The tendency is downward, not upward, into selfishness and sensuality. Spiritualism was pretty rampant at the time of Dr. Lake, and it's on the rise again today, seeking the occult for solutions, remedies, contacting the dead, different things like that. That's all comes under the classification of spiritualism. He says, again, his question was, suppose you have a difficulty in your spirit, where do you go for relief? He says, when we have a difficulty in our spirit, we go to the Father of Spirits. When we have a difficulty in our soul, we do not go to the spirit of the world. We go to the Lord, your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. When we have a difficulty in our spirit, we go to the Father of Spirits. When we have a difficulty in our soul, our mind, our will, or our emotions, we do not go to the spirit of the world. We go to the Lord. When we have a difficulty in our body, to whom do we go? Most Christians go to the world, the flesh, and the devil. The trouble is in our consecration. We do not have a real vision of the Christian's consecration and what constitutes it. We do not have a real vision of the Christian's consecration and what constitutes it. The Lord provided a salvation for the spirit, a salvation for the soul, and a salvation for the body. The violator is not just a weak Christian, but he is a sinner. He is a sinner against the will of God and against the spirit of Christian consecration. For Christian consecration demands a separation unto Jesus Christ of all that Christ separated unto God the Father. Mm-mm. Christian consecration demands a separation unto Jesus Christ of all that Christ separated unto God the Father. And previously, he said, the Lord consecrated the spirit, the soul, and the body of the believer unto God through his sacrifice on the cross, death, burial, and resurrection. Then the Christian should consecrate all of themselves to God, then they're following through on the consecration that Jesus made for them or made the way for them to accomplish. These are strong words. And he's basically saying areas where we don't commit our spirit, soul, and body to the Lord, we're sinning. Strong words. That was the consecration of the early church, early Christians. The primitive church regarded the individual who took the world's way of pills and medicine as having departed from the way of Jesus. And they were dealt with in love and discipline, just the same as if they had stolen a horse or committed some other sin. They were treated as having sinned and needing restoration to God. You say, that is very drastic. It may be, but it is very true. That is the law of God. It is not only the law of God, but it is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Do you suppose if you go up to heaven, you will find a lot of folks who are full of pills, headache tablets, or Nux Vomica, which I do not know what that is. Google it. One of the prescriptions for healing in the Talmud is to repeat the 91st Psalm 7 times a day. If a man repeated the 91st Psalm 7 times a day, he would not keep it up long before the spirit of faith in the Almighty God got into his soul. That was good medicine for the soul and good medicine for the body also. I want to go back. I have time left here. This last part of Jesus first dedicates himself is pretty strong. But I want to go over it again. How many of you have dedicated body, soul, and spirit to God? I want you to see that the dedication of your body, soul, and spirit means something. It means you have taken yourself out of the hands of man and out of the hands of the devil and are over in God's way and God's will forever. Suppose you have a difficulty in your spirit. Where do you go for relief? We go to the Lord. We go to the Father of Spirits. When we have a difficulty in our soul, we do not go to the spirit of the world. We go to the Lord. When we have a difficulty in our body, to whom do we go? Most Christians go to the world, the flesh, and the devil. The trouble is in our consecration. We do not have a real vision of the Christian's consecration and what constitutes it. The Lord provided a salvation for the spirit, a salvation for the soul, and a salvation for the body. The primitive church regarded the individual who took the world's way of pills and medicine as having departed from the way of Jesus. You say that is very drastic. It may be, but it is very true. That is the law of God. It is not only the law of God, but it is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. One of the prescriptions for healing in the Talmud is to repeat the 91st Psalm 7 times a day. Well, if a man repeated the 91st Psalm 7 times a day, he would not keep it up long before the spirit of faith in Almighty God got into his soul. That suggestion was good medicine for the soul and also good medicine for the body. Reading the 91st Psalm 7 times a day, it takes a consecration to do that. I'm sharing this with you today because, again, going back to what Dr. Lake said in the beginning, that there never was a time in history when the world needed a demonstration that the Lord could keep people forever under every condition as much as it does today. I'm not preaching against medicine. I'm siding with Dr. Lake. I'm not speaking against doctors, against medicine. I'm speaking for Jesus. I'm lifting him up. There is nothing he cannot do, but he has to be your all in all. You got to think on him. You have to fellowship with him. You have to in him live and move and have your being. You have to be connecting to him with your spirit, your soul, and your body. All of you. Colossians says, we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and that we are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. To what extent can he exert power over the mortal body to heal it, over the mind to give it peace, over the emotions to calm them, over the will to enable to be have it molded and to go in the direction of consecration to him? Philippians says, one day by his power he is going to subdue everything in this natural world, and these mortal bodies of ours are going to put on immortality. So let's partake of that power now for spirit, soul, and body. That's what we see in Dr. Lake. That's why so many of you tune in. That's why you follow his life. That's what you want to hear when you listen, is the testimonies of God's power manifesting in him and through him. But we have to, first of all, it's the through that we're interested in, so many people. But we have to first back up and see the power was manifest in him. When they put the bubonic plague froth in his hand and the germs died. That's the kind of confidence in the resurrection power, indwelling resurrection power, the law of the spirit of life. He went right back to it here again. Romans 8:2, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's drastic. The change that that law taking a hold on your life brings is drastic. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. We'll be going on in our next broadcast into our next section on the extent of Jesus' dedication. God bless you. Remember, don't just read, feed. I encourage you to listen to this sermon again and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart, because what he's doing through it is preparing you to live independent of this age in the time that we have left in this world.
God's love for you goes on and on. What other hearts have failed? This love forgave from Calvary's cross, where that love was nailed. You must believe he wants the best for you, though your prayers have yet to show. Let your heart be strong and your faith arise as I give you words I know. Well, I know there's a God.